a Nacho Radio podcast.
Dave and Darren.
You know, we probably should start with a little bit more fanfare. Because according to the official records here at Nacho Radio, this is our 700th episode.
Is that right?
Yeah. 700 episodes.
Is Larry still keeping track? Because he was always our numbers guy.
In what way?
That's right. In what way?
Keep track.
For some reason, he thought he was the numbers guy.
You know, I got to keep track of everything. You guys won't do it. Speaking of, has there been any progress on the Larry front? Because now that you've mentioned him, I know we're going to get a bunch of texts on the Harrington's Pub text line.
Well, I'll tell you what.
470-23-Nacho.
I tell you what. I will reach out to him again. It was in his court the last time.
Well, because if I remember correctly, the fact that we were moving the show to an afternoon show was going to make things more likely that he would make an appearance.
Because he's getting up at this time.
Right. I mean, we used to do the show at 6 in the morning. We used to do the show at 8:30 in the morning.
Right.
Now that
none of those really worked for him.
Now that it's more or less 4:30 in the afternoon, you would think he'd be available.
Yes. So let me reach out yet again. Because, the last time he was like, well, maybe.
Right. So here's the thing. The bit of me asking Darren if he's gotten anything done, it's half a bit and half not a bit. Because really, if Larry has anxiety about being on the show,
I don't know that he has any anxiety.
Well, he used to sometimes.
Well, he used to have crippling anxiety
until he would.
And yet he would show up every time. Isn't that something? Think about that. Think about what he gave. That man gave more than. He gave his nervous system, is what he gave.
To our show.
To our show, yeah. To our society.
Do it live!
Yeah, no.
No.
You're right.
What? Crippling fear, and yet.
Amazing Larry is the pearl of great price.
Brad G!
And yet you would have never known it.
It does make one wonder.
Come on, kids, grow up.
You know, I got a little something. I got a little beef with this Academy Awards.
Okay, let's get into it. The Oscars were last night.
Who thinks it's cute making fun of a bunch of slee stacks? Now, I haven't seen the movie.
Talking about The Shape of Water.
Which one movie of the year?
It does, look, I guess it's, it does look like Bill Lambier in a suit.
It's spot on a slee stack, and you're basically mocking him in that you're a slee stack. And you can't have white women? Is that...
I don't know.
Is that what's going on? Now, again, I didn't see the movie. From what I can glean from said movie is that, you know what? We got this slee stack here, and we're going to prod you and poke you and do this and everything. You like our women? Huh? You like that?
Is that really what the shit movie's about?
You like her curves? Does that do something for you? Does that do something for you, fish boy?
I don't know that the fact that she's white has anything to do with it. It's just that she's a human being. I think she's either deaf or mute.
Oh, she's a deaf or mute?
I think, but I didn't see a minute
so
of
any
of
So what we're saying is
movies.
Deaf and mute people can only get fish people? I don't care for this at all.
Yeah.
I don't know why we got to make fun of people.
You know what I'd like to get pregnant? Is that Felicity Huffman, man. Ever since Transamerica, I can't get her out of my mind.
Yeah, I am with you on this.
Why don't we just treat people like human beings? Unless, of course, you're an idiot. If you're an idiot, then you're lucky you get treated like anything.
It's just reverse Splash. It's a human lady falling in love with a fish man.
It's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
With gills.
Yeah. I'll tell you this much. My one of my in-laws went and saw it.
Yeah? Loved it?
He was crying, just trying to talk about it.
I don't want that either.
He's like, it's the most beautiful movie ever. Like, oh, wow, you're really moved by it.
Oh, fish guy doesn't get to be with the white woman.
Quit saying white women. Like this is Blazing Saddles. What's wrong with you? I don't think it's a racial thing if you're a fish person. I don't think fish people see color.
You don't think they have a preference?
I think fish are colorblind.
They actually might be colorblind. They might actually be colorblind.
Yeah, I don't think it matters to them.
Although you can still see shades.
Well.
And then all of a sudden you turn it into that.
That's
Fifty Shades of Fish. I can't take it.
It just seems silly.
It just seems like let's just start.
Let's start behaving. What the hell are we doing?
What are we doing here?
Bunch of grown-ups giving a Best Picture Oscar to a movie about a woman who sleeps with a fish?
Yeah.
What is this, a Panama City Zeppelin show? What are we doing here?
You know, if I need this sort of thing, I'll go back to the incredible Mr. Lipid.
Oh, I wish I was a fish.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, that thing, that tore me up as a kid.
Yeah?
Oh, boy, that's rough.
Yeah?
Doesn't he, like, he can't come back as a boy or as a guy?
He doesn't want to. He falls in love with the fish.
He doesn't want to.
He falls in love with a goldfish,
and
right?
And then she gets caught, hooked, and he's down there as a fish by himself with the... She ends up in a tuna can.
Doesn't Don Knotts' wife end up with his best friend? Like, it's some sort of cuckold thing? Like,
I don't know.
I'm in the Navy, and I'm your best friend, and I should be the one boning that wife of yours.
And I'm going to, now that you're a fish.
Now you're a fish, I'm gonna do it, and you're going to watch, see?
And you're going to watch from a distance.
Does his girlfriend die in the end of Mr. Limpet?
Doesn't she get caught? Doesn't she get caught up in a net and end up, ironically, her name was Annette, and she ends up in that...
How did we not see this coming?
Some of that dolphin-free tuna.
You know my problem with the incredible Mr. Limpet? I could never look at Don Knotts again and not see him as a fish.
Yeah.
Like, every time I saw him...
Same thing. That's why he was asked to leave Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith couldn't look at him the same way either. I'm sorry, but we're gonna have to pretend you're going to Mount Pilot as a police officer.
And doesn't he, like, swim against the Nazis or something? Like, he helps the Navy get through a minefield or something? It's some sort of World War II something or another, right?
Yeah, could be.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know that I have what it takes to watch that sort of stuff anymore.
Let's see.
I could watch it as a child, but as an adult, knowing how cruel the world really is, I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of your Sleestak story.
His girlfriend is Ladyfish. He goes to say goodbye to Bessie, his girlfriend or his wife, and then she's already fallen in love with George. And now the movie ends with a question mark. It's one of those movies that says the end and then a question mark.
Now, you know, in the book Jaws...
Yes, Peter Benchley's masterpiece.
The character of Hooper?
Mm-hmm.
You're Richard Dreyfuss?
Yes.
He has an affair with Chief Brody's wife. They never put that in the movie.
I don't know how that would help her, the movie.
I'm just saying.
He's on the boat with somebody that's banging his wife?
Yes.
Does he know that Hooper's banging his wife?
I don't know. That's a good point, because it really, do you save him or not save him? Do you try to help him?
No.
Or do you feed him to the fish like Quint?
No.
As a matter of fact, I mistakenly, Quint, I'm sorry, I thought it was Hooper.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women. Like the chief's wife, right, Hooper?
All right.
Hey, I told you that in confidence.
I told you that.
Would you ixnay on the Hooper K? Yeah. What are you doing to me?
Yeah.
You ever looked into a shark's eyes? Like a doll's eyes. Kind of like your wife's eyes, according to what Hooper says.
When they roll to the back of their head. Just like, huh, Hooper? Isn't that right?
Damn it, Quint?
Quint?
Would you quit?
The whole time he's just dropping these hints that you've been banging the chief's wife.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Mr. Hooper?
Wouldn't ya? She's a loose girl. 20-footer. 25.
That scene where he puts his nails on the chalkboard.
Uh-huh.
If you think that's bad, take a look at the claw marks on the back of Mr. Hooper's back.
And he pulls his shirt up.
God damn it, Quint.
Quint!
I'm just...
Cool it! You're going to get us all killed. The whole time. Quint's just giving it away.
That's a much better movie.
It is a super movie.
Hooper tells Quint that he's banging the chief's wife. And
once! Just once!
Yeah, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. And the whole movie,
he won't give it up.
Quint is just trying to let the chief know. But the chief is too stupid.
It's like, what's he trying to say?
I got sharks on the brain. I don't even notice things like you know,
my wife is loose.
Honey, why is there a beard hair in my eggs this morning?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Mr. Hooper? Get your name in all the papers.
Close Encounter of the Jaws kind.
That would be a better movie. If you're going to do a reboot of Jaws, we think we've got a way to make it
cool and different. It just adds another layer is all I'm saying.
It's all we need. It's all we need.
You know, if you go back and watch it, it needs a layer. It's not really, it's not the superhero movie you remember it to be.
Okay, how about this? How about this? At the end of the movie, Roy Scheider's character, Chief...
Brody.
Chief Brody. Says, you know, smile, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And he kills the shark. And the shark is dead. And then the chief is floating his way to shore. And then the shark comes out of the water, critically wounded. And the shark just goes... Hooper's banging your wife.
Right. Even the shark knows.
And that's when it dawns on him.
Finally. That's what Quint's been trying to say.
You just see a close-up of Roy Scheider's face, and you see him connecting the dots in his eyes.
Huh.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Wait a second.
Now it makes sense.
It took that shark to tell me. It's, you know, kind of like...
It's like they always say.
It's like listening to a cover of a song. It's like, oh, those were the words.
Top five things.
The Top Five Things podcast is brought to you...
Oh, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Mr.
You'd like it. Is brought to you by Mary's Diamonds and Jewelry at 3320 East Kimberly Road next to Green Buick in Davenport. Their bridal sale's going on now. Come in and check out their engagement ring starting at, get this, $350, and their selection of GIA-certified loose diamonds and their custom bridal line. They offer free cleanings and inspections. Stop in and experience their impeccable customer service. Visit Mary, Terry, and Ellen today. Their passion for jewelry and gems will be present each time they find the perfect piece for you. Check them out at marysdiamondsandjewelry.com. Like them on Facebook. When you're there making a purchase, make sure you mention Nacho Radio. They are open Tuesdays through Saturday starting at 9 a.m. Mary's Diamonds and Jewelry, locally owned and operated. If you'd like to reach out to us, use the Harrington Pub text line, 470-23-NACHO, Harrington's Pub, 2321 Cumberland Square Drive in Bettendorf, where they are going to be hosting the Quad City's best St. Patrick's Day celebration on Saturday, March 7th. Doors open at 8 a.m., $3 domestic tall boys, $4 Jameson, $4 pints, Guinness pints, and $5 Irish car bombs, and free corned beef and cabbage with any drink purchase. The podcast originating from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport and 4640 First Avenue Northeast. Turn your favorite Capriotti sandwich into a combo with a chip and a medium drink, and do it today. When you're there, of course, mention Nacho Radio, and you're going to get a medium sub for the price of a small one at Capriotti's.
You know that scene where they're comparing scars on the boat? Yeah.
Let me guess. Brody's wife give you that scar?
Did Brody's bit you last night, didn't he? Didn't she?
That, Mr. Hooper, is the USS Indianapolis. Japanese submarine slammed two torpedoes into our side. Like you slammed her on her side. Yeah, I'm talking about your wife, Chief.
What's that?
Hooper banged your wife.
Huh? What?
Shut up, Quint.
No distress signal had been sent.
Number one.
Number one on the top five things. Oh, well, this is sad news. A couple of celebrities have passed away since the last time we did the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Another one Marty
gone.
Allen.
Another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Hello, dear.
Hey.
Goodbye, dear.
He's gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Well, we lost Winchester from MASH.
Yes.
David Ogden Stiers. I didn't realize he was from Peoria.
I didn't either.
I mean, the way on that show, I just assumed he was always from
Boston
or something. Yeah. But he was playing a role, turns out. He was, in fact,
playing a role.
Also dead over the weekend, Roger Bannister, the first person to break the 4-minute mile mark.
88 years old.
Not too bad.
Bet he couldn't do it now. Well, I bet he couldn't even break probably 40 minutes.
What's the record for the mile now?
Don't know. Is it under 3.5?
It can't be, right? I mean,
you wouldn't think so. We were talking about that, Soul Stash and I, about how it doesn't seem like world records are getting broken much anymore.
Well, I mean,
because we've kind of got to the point where that's as good as we can be.
Current record holders for a man, it's Morocco's Hicham El Garouj.
Do they even run the mile anymore?
3 minutes, 43 seconds.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty amazing. If you think about
it. Do they run the mile?
In what, like the Olympics?
Or are they just like, they run the 1,600 meters?
Yeah, everything's all metric system, isn't it? Let's see. Yeah, the guy who broke the record, that record for the mile, fastest mile, has stood since 1976. So, yeah, nobody...
That's about as fast as you can go.
You cannot go faster than...
Not much.
No. No. For a while, they said the 4 minutes was never going to be broken.
Now, the high jump, that's not 8 feet, is it?
I don't think so.
It's still under 8 feet, right?
I think so.
No one's ever jumped 8 feet. No one's pole vaulted like 60 feet.
The record was, in 1861, the record for fastest mile was 4 minutes and 55 seconds.
What?
4 minutes and 55 seconds was the world record for a mile.
Were they in a shopping cart?
1861.
Oh, 1861.
1861.
Oh, I thought you said
19.
Okay.
No, this is the progression of the world.
Well, clearly that was not the world record. If you were to time other people, they could have.
Okay, well that was the amateur record. Yeah. If we're doing just professionals.
Well, not necessarily professionals. A world record's a world record.
Right.
So, but I'm just saying, I don't think you were timing the correct people back in 1861.
And also, who knows how clocks work in 1861?
They didn't even know right? how they
work. You can't even get tickets to a theater without getting a bullet in the back of your head in 1861. Okay, I misspoke. The record by Hicham El-Garouj was set on July 7th, 1999. So the record has stood now for close to 19 years.
20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, Will 343.
Yeah, not a lot of world records being broken because we've kind of got it as good as we got.
You just get to a place where...
That's as good as a human being can go.
Yeah. Yeah, Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile. They tried forever to do it. They said it could never be done. At one point, a Swedish guy got to 4 minutes and 1 second.
And they thought that was
it. And they're like, that's it. There's no sense in trying to shave that second off. It'll never happen. And then, this is the thing, Bannister had the world record, and that's why we remember the man, 88 years old, May 6th, 1954.
Well, no, we remember him because he broke the four-minute mile.
Broke the four-minute mile, but that was also the world record.
Yes.
And he had that record from May 6th until June 21st when somebody beat it.
Yeah, so it didn't last John Lanning.
No. But the fact that he was the first one to break
first
the four-minute.
First one there, first one to do it. Yeah, you don't remember the other guy.
No. When you ask me, name people that are famous for running fast... Roger Bannister would come up eventually.
Sure.
I'm looking at a full... I mean, I'm looking at the internet here with all the answers in front of me. I don't recognize any of these cats' names. Not like I'm some sort of super fan of people that run, you know, four-minute miles. But yeah, both of them dead. Number two.
Two.
All right. The world's largest oil producer. They're saying now, according to the International Energy Agency... They're saying now that the United States will overtake Russia to become the world's largest oil producer by the year 2023. We are growing at a rate of an oil production that is going to be tops in the world here in the next, 5 years.
Okay.
That'll happen. We will reach a record of 12.1 million barrels a day by the year 2023. Up about 2 million barrels a day. From where we're at now. And they say overall, we will be the number one oil producer on the face of the earth.
Look at us.
Yeah, we're getting things done. We're smart. Not dumb like everyone says, like dumb. Can do things. Frances McDormand won the Academy Award for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Another movie I haven't seen.
Rhonda saw it and she thought, well, that was a stupid ending. And then she was like, I'm getting tired of all these movies with its stupid endings.
Let me guess. Somebody shows up at the house and is like, you know you got to pay for those billboards. Huh?
You got to pay us for the billboards?
So she wins the Academy Award for Best Actress, and everyone's talking about what a great job she did and all of this. She goes to a party, like you do.
Yeah.
Somebody stole her Academy Award at the party.
Well, people don't care. They don't care. They'll steal your you'll steal your Academy Award. Who was the guy that stole Tom Brady's jersey from the Super Bowl? People don't care.
This guy's name is Terry Bryant. booked on felony grand theft. He took her Best Actress statue from the table at the governor's ball. You would think you'd be allowed to just leave your Oscar at the table there at the governor's ball and no one would take it. Well, this guy grabbed it, got a little handsy, picked it up,
bail. Where do you think you're going with that?
Hey, buddy, you didn't win that, you know. Oh, I thought these were everybody. Yeah, the thief was stopped by Wolfgang Puck's photographer. Remember our buddy Wolfgang Puck?
Yeah.
Remember his liner for us? Hello, this is Wolfgang Puck, and you are cooking mit Dave and Darren.
Thank you,
Wolfgang. He was great, wasn't he
great? He called us to see somebody when we're out in Vegas.
When you come to Vegas, you come and you see my friend.
What?
Terry Bryant. He's the one with the stolen Oscar and a snake by the gate.
He has got a snake.
Oh, what is with these Germans and their gate snakes? Well, the Oscar was then returned to McDormand, who told security, go ahead and let the guy go. Well, no, they're not going to let him go. That's felony. What are you doing, dummy? Yeah, he was dressed up in a tuxedo. He knew what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
Thought he had the perfect crime.
Shows up, was wearing the tuxedo T-shirt.
You know, it doesn't even have her name on it yet. They have to get that stuff engraved later.
See?
So it's not worth
anything.
Knew
what he was doing.
How are you going to sell a hot Oscar? What are you going to do with that? Like, I don't think you're thinking this all the way through. As far as crimes go.
Someone might buy it.
How are you going to sell it?
It's probably got a guy.
I'm a Francis McDormand collector. I collect her antiquities. What have you got for me?
I took this Oscar right off the table.
Excellent. This will go nicely in my collection.
Did you get a load of my tuxedo T-shirt?
Yes, you look very smart. Walmart is pushing their meal kit business out.
You know, I never got one of those. I never got a tuxedo T-shirt, and now it's too late. Some things are just too late.
Well, I say don't give up on us, baby.
No, it's. No.
I heard a commercial for a local place where they're making the argument that it's really cheaper for you to come in and buy a tuxedo than it is for you to rent a tuxedo. Because if you wear it twice,
yeah, if you don't gain any weight.
Well, you know, the people that buy tuxedos are people that are young enough.
I got a suit. You know what the chance of me getting in that suit is? Now, granted, I bought this suit 24, 25 years ago.
Oh, yes, but you
know what the chance of me getting in that suit? The only way I save any money is if I bought that tuxedo 25 years ago and I can still get in it. Otherwise,
what are we doing here? Walmart rolling out meal kits to 250 stores. They're going to do this to another 2,000 stores. The idea is one-stop meals. Where you just go to Walmart, they've cooked everything, and you just take the box home and feed your family.
Who says I want to eat it right now?
No, you don't eat it there. You take it home.
But they've cooked it?
Well, sometimes they'll cook it.
Or is it this Blue Apron thing?
Or it'll be more like a Blue Apron and HelloFresh.
Yeah, you know, how about I cook it when I eat, when I want to cook it?
I guess that makes more sense.
But so what?
Well, cuz in reading the article it was saying they're going after restaurants. But they're going after restaurants in that I'm buying all of my food at Walmart and the meal is prepared for me.
Why couldn't it still you just seems go like to Walmart a lot of work. And buy your food?
Yeah, that's a great point. Well, they put everything together for you.
No, I get it, but unless you're like living in a major metropolitan city in a high rise, where it's not all that convenient to go to a grocery store.
Walmart's meal kits will serve two people and range in price from $8 to $15. Your options right now include
that's a hell of a range.
Steak Dijon and pork Florentine. Mmm. Yummy.
Did you see where the PPG wanted to change kind of the, wanted to throw a little curveball in the old food stamp thing?
Yeah.
And as opposed to you getting food stamps and deciding what foods you wanted, we'll just show up with a box of what you get. Here's your buckwheat flour and your Velveeta cheese. And be happy to have it.
I didn't see that. Yes, Darren.
That was that's some inspired thinking there. Why, I tell you what, you people. You people on the food stamps have got it too damn good. You think that you're going to eat your sugar cookies and your cottage cheese? Not on my watch. By the way, Hooper's bag of Rudy's wife.
Why are you throwing that out there?
It's a little pamphlet in there.
For everybody on the government
just
cheese.
Just in case you can't afford to see Jaws, this is what you need to know.
Hooper's banging your wife. What the hell, a talking shark? Well, that's something else.
Finally took a talking shark for me to figure it out.
Five.
Of course, that really kind of makes the whole movie unbelievable.
And then there's this from the Detroit News. Now, this is a little bit of taking lemons and making lemonade.
Here's hoping.
All right? This opioid crisis.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Oh, isn't it really all... why don't you stop writing these people prescriptions for this stuff?
There is that.
Would that maybe help?
It wouldn't hurt. But there is this. All of these people that are hooked on the smack,
yeah,
and they're dying in pretty good numbers. A lot of these people are young people.
Uh-huh.
And they're saying that these overdose deaths... Again, don't kill the messenger for this story.
All right.
There's been a huge surge in organ donations.
Mm. Yeah, but probably damaged organs.
Well,
smack filled organs.
Organ donations nationwide hit record numbers last year, due in part to the availability of life saving hearts, kidneys, livers, and other organs that came from people who overdosed on opioid drugs.
Well, what do you do with the organs that you don't need? Because I mean, can't keep them for mulch. I mean, what do you use them for?
I grind them up and put them on my tomato plants. And every year I win an award at the fair. Yeah. You like these tomatoes? I'll tell you my secret. Chopped up dead people organs. Enjoy.
Opioid failures.
Yeah, so they're saying, you know, if there's a silver lining in the dark cloud that is our country's opioid crisis, it's this. People are getting organs who ordinarily would not be getting organs.
I suppose
organs.
The opioids wouldn't affect some parts of your body. It's going to affect some. It's going to affect, like, your liver and that sort of thing.
Well, you know, when you wake up
from... But is it really going to affect your lungs? No.
No.
Why would it? So...
Or your eyeballs?
Pancreas or
whatever?
Your ears, yeah. Or your...
Those were your top five things.
The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast... Brought to you by the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg, where they've got some exciting news. Coming up on Friday, March 30th, it's Loving Vincent, the world's first fully painted feature film. Now, we've been talking about Kevin Smith bringing his one-man show to the Orpheum Theater.
Yes.
And that's going to be happening on April 13th. That show is sold out. But here's the thing. He's sticking around, because after he's done with that show... He's basically doing an interactive podcast. It's Jay and Silent Bob doing a interactive podcast after the fact.
That's amazing.
So those tickets are on sale now.
It's called Jay and Silent Bob Got Old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're going to be doing...
It's very cool.
They're going to be doing their thing after they've done his thing. And yes, he had a heart attack, but he'll be there.
Yeah, no, so, he's adding a
he's
show.
He's adding shows.
After the heart attack.
After the heart attack, so he kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So if you bought tickets for the Kevin Smith show and you want to see the show after the fact, they're two totally different things, and you need to get your tickets for both things. The ticket doesn't get you into both things. You got to buy one, and then you buy the other
one. Yeah, no,
so
that's no problem.
Those tickets are available.
Here's what you do. Those of you that have your tickets for the first show.
Yeah.
And go get yourself an Iron Spike beer,
yes.
And then go back to the Orpheum and go to the second show.
That's exactly right. Tickets are available at the GalesburgOrpheum.org by phone at 309-342-2299 or at the Orpheum Theater box office. Also coming soon to the Orpheum Theater, magician Bill Blagg and comedian Henry Cho and Peter Pan Jr. Orpheum Theater, lean forward, engage, and be entertained. If you'd like to reach out to us, use the Harrington Pub text line 470-23-NACHO, Harrington's Pub. 2321 Cumberland Square Drive in Bettendorf, home of the Quad City's best Bloody Mary. And, excuse me, live music on Thursdays with $3 Miller and Coors Bottles. And this Thursday, March 8th, it is Lewis Knutson at Harrington's Pub in Bettendorf. The podcast originating from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop studio on 53rd Street in Davenport. Sandwiches, soups and salads, cold and hot subs, and cap specials, including the Bobby, turkey, cranberry sauce, homemade stuffing, mayo, and more, voted the greatest sandwich in America, and also home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak. So get one today at Capriotti's. Mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one.
Last night's Academy Awards, 3 hours and 50 minutes.
350?
It was 1 minute longer than last year's show. Also, by the way, nobody watched it.
And how many wrong envelope jokes did they make?
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch 1 second of it.
And I saw a little bit of it with the sound down.
I didn't watch 1 second of it because...
They had Eva Marie Saint come out.
For real?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was still around.
She was there doing something. I could not read her lips.
But those eyeballs told you everything. I did see this morning just... My other job, getting ready to talk about things, I did see Rita Moreno.
Yes.
Who wore the same outfit she wore when she won an Academy Award in 1964.
See, now that would make sense for her to get a tuxedo.
Yes.
Because she could still get in the thing from 50-something years ago.
She's in her 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you this, she could get on my thing.
Yeah.
Rita Moreno, if you're listening.
Now, she's won everything, right?
She's got an EGOT.
Yes.
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Yes. Done it all.
She's a superstar. She's mega talent.
Hello
and
there.
She's in her 80s.
Rita
Moreno. In her 80s and spicier than any Italian meatball.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah. 26.5 million viewers, an all-time low. The telecast is 19% down from last year, and last year was pretty dismal.
Well, it's all this Sleestak shaming.
I just don't know that. I don't know that anyone cared about any of the movies. I don't know that anyone cares about anything that's on television.
Seems like a weak field.
Right? It's not that I don't like going to the movies. Lord knows I love it. I just didn't care to see any of these.
It's too big of an undertaking.
Right? How's this any of my problems? Family found a loophole in the lottery. Jerry and Marge Selby. They owned a convenience store in Michigan. Then they sold.
Well, that's fishy right off the
they
bat.
They sold the convenience store. Apparently, these guys are.
So they sold lottery tickets.
No. This is the thing. Now, this is the thing. I want to say this right at the beginning. Everything they did was legal.
And the authorities are saying it's legal?
Yes. They didn't do anything illegal. They
that's good.
They found a loophole, okay. And they exploited it.
All right.
So is that ethical?
No.
I don't know, man. If they would have said, hey, we got a way to make money and it's totally legal, I would have been on board. Maybe.
As a beard.
They would stop in. So they had a convenience store in Michigan. And then they sold it. They would check in on the convenience store every once in a while.
Okay.
So Jerry Selby is there, and he sees that there's a brochure from the Michigan Lottery about a brand new lotto that they're going to be offering called Windfall. The idea is you buy a $1 ticket, you pick six numbers between 1 and 49.
Mm-hmm.
If you get all six correct, you win at least $2 million.
Okay.
But if nobody picks the winning numbers, there is something called a roll-down structure.
Someone's going to win something.
If the jackpot exceeded $5 million, a roll-down was triggered. This happened about every 6 weeks. So on the next drawing, if no one guessed all six numbers right, the jackpot rolled down to whoever had five numbers, or four numbers, or three numbers, or two numbers. Dig it?
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry realized, okay, if this is happening, then that means your $1 ticket is worth more than $1. So he started buying hundreds of thousands of tickets for the roll-down jackpots. They would spend all week just going over all the numbers. They built a LLC called GS Investment Strategies.
Uh-huh.
They allowed 25 friends and family members to pool money together. They were buying as much for these lottery tickets.
Yes.
They were buying as much as $720,000 worth of tickets for a drawing.
Oh, boy.
But they
you better be right.
They were getting a return.
Well, of course.
The Michigan Lottery shut down the game. The Selbys decide, well, let's play the one in Massachusetts. Over the course of nine years...
So you got to spend money to make money.
Exactly. But they figured out a way where it's like, okay, once this roll-down happens, then these tickets are actually worth a lot more money, and we should invest a lot of money in it. and then we have a better chance of winning.
Uh-huh. We might not win the big kit and caboodle,
no.
But we're going to win the roll down pretty consistently.
25 friends and family members all pooled their monies into this group called GS Investment Strategies. Over 9 years before taxes, they made $7.75 million.
Pretty good.
And all of it legal.
But they had to spend $700,000 on a crack.
Sometimes they did. Yeah. That was like an exceptional,
yeah.
You know. Now, a reporter figured out what they were doing. Jerry's not too happy with the reporter. Because you ruined my gig, man.
Yeah.
We had it all figured out. And you ruined it.
Then why'd you talk to him? Why did he talk to him?
I don't think Jerry talked to him. I think the reporter just kind of figured things out. Domino's Pizza. In Ann Arbor, they are rolling out self-driving pizza delivery cars. Domino's and Ford teaming up to deliver pizzas in the Ann Arbor area. You'll have the option when you order your pizza of getting your pizza delivered by a Ford Fusion autonomous research vehicle.
Well, hell, I thought I'd get a combination.
You'll be able to track your order through the Domino's app and receive a unique code to unlock the Heatwave component. Which is a container that keeps the pizza
so
warm in the back of the car.
So you have to go out and get it out?
Yeah, like it'll say, here's your code to type into the car to open up the
pizza trunk.
Yeah, but they only want you opening up the trunk, because otherwise you could be ordering a pizza and getting a Ford Fusion. Dig what I'm saying? Like, hey, the car's here and there's nobody driving it.
Yeah.
We got a pizza.
Yeah.
And now we got a car.
And we also have a car.
How long until that happens? I'm going to say 3 days.
A driverless car. We're going to start with pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It says here the car will still have a human inside for now as the company studies how customers interact with self-driving
cars. Well, what is
that
job?
That's not bad.
Just sit in there?
I can't talk to you. The car has to do all the work.
I'm also the guy that gives you the quarters at the car wash in case you can't use the change machine.
What?
Boy, we should reach out to Larry, though. Those are not bad jobs.
It wouldn't be the worst.
He wouldn't mind. Well, I don't know if he could sit that long.
In Indiana, a fugitive back behind bars after decades on the run because he was involved in an automobile accident. Sheriff's office in Edinburgh, Indiana, says Gary Burton was one of several inmates who escaped from the Henryville Work Release Center. He was 24 years old back in the early 80s. He was on the lam all this time.
And no one was looking for him?
Well, they were looking for him, but obviously not that hard. A week ago, officers noticed something was fishy about him. He was getting treated after a car accident. They started asking questions, figured out, yeah, no, this guy's been on the lam since the 80s. Also facing charges that include operating a vehicle while intoxicated and false informing. I don't know, maybe if you're on the lam from a prison escape, don't drink and drive. Like, nobody should drink and drive.
Yeah, but how many?
But especially
but you know how many years have gone by? You think,
Every morning you wake up when you're a
be
prison escapee,
very diligent.
Like you look at yourself in the mirror.
No showing
every
off.
Every morning you look at yourself in the mirror. You go, today is not the day that I make it easy.
That
for
I
them
make
to,
the mistake.
Yes. You give yourself that little pep talk every morning.
Today's not the day to make the mistake,
Jerry. We've made it this far.
Don't screw it up.
Don't do it, Burton. Don't do it. All right, we're good. A little pep talk in the mirror. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. New York City, I guess this is in Hempstead, New York. A nurse is in trouble for bringing drugs into an inmate that she had a relationship with. Carol Pilgrim of Queens brought banned items into a facility. She said she felt as if she was married to the convict.
Oh, brother.
Not facing any additional charges. He isn't, but she is. And there's a story of a grandmother who brought a Dorito bag full of drugs to her grandson in prison. That's a good look. Put the drugs in the Dorito bag.
Feed the dog.
I mean, I said I'll repeat.
Jesus, fellas.
I mean, how hard could you make it? Grandma brings Doritos bag.
She said, bail, bail.
Repeat.
Everyone roll out of the car because we've turned the family sedan into a missile that we are going to target
this lawyer.
The lawyer's office.
He knows what he did. Sarah Griffin went to meet her grandson. She's 68 years old and tried to sneak him a Doritos bag filled with narcotics. A An officer noticed that this grandmother was trying to slip a Doritos bag to Cody Clements. He came by to confiscate the contraband. As the officer took the bag, grandma removed a black object wrapped with electrical tape from the bag before she turned it over.
Black tar.
Police unwrapped the object. They found that it was a treasure trove of illegal drugs.
Thanks, Grandma.
A green leafy substance, yellow pills, and a white powder, all being brought in by Grandma.
You're like, the best, Grandma.
My grandmother used to send me care packages when I was in college.
Moon pies?
It was lemon drops and moon candy. Goldfish crackers? Ooh, you bet.
And windmill cookies.
She told the police that she thought the bag contained a cell phone and that she was shocked to hear that there were drugs inside of it. She explained that she got the bag from an unidentified woman earlier in the week.
Hey, I need you to drop these Doritos off to your grandson.
He's expecting them.
That's just a phone call, just a phone in there. Shouldn't get you in any trouble, Grandma.
Yeah, she clearly knew what was up.
Used to call me on my cell phone.
It's going to have to do it for this installment of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things.
The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast brought to you by the East Moline Coffee Company, 3537 Archer Drive in East Moline, just north of United Township High School. Make 2018 your year and enjoy an all-natural fruit smoothie with or without protein. Try a super tasty protein puck packed full of fruits and nuts, a great way to start the day. Gourmet hot, iced and frozen beverages, as well as whole bean coffee and loose leaf tea, biscotti, breakfast cookies, all natural oatmeal muffins, and more. The East Moline Coffee Company joined their loyalty rewards and check them out at eastmocoffee.com. The podcast is also brought to you by our fine patrons on Podbean and as well as everyone who shops Amazon by using the link at nachoradio.com. If you'd like to reach out to us anytime, 24/7, use the Harrington Pub text line, 470-23-NACHO. Harrington's Pub, Cumberland Square Drive in Bettendorf, where they're going to be hosting the Quad Cities Best St. Patrick's Day Celebration. Live music starting at 1 o'clock on that day with Jeff and Jordan at 1. Doug Brundy's at 4:30, and Two Brads featuring Bobby Ray Bunch at 8 o'clock at Harrington's Pub, home of the Quad Cities Best Bloody Mary. And the podcast has originated from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop Studio, Capriotti's on 53rd Street in Davenport and 4640 First Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one.
Can I tell you a quick story about sandwiches?
Yes.
So over the weekend, the family wanted to go check out a new sandwich place.
Okay.
I'm going to share this with you because
you're trying
it
to
comes
be
from a place of honesty. And I'd been to Capriotti's twice in the week for lunch.
Okay.
They wanted to check out a different sandwich place.
All right.
And I said, okay. I said, whatever your heart desires. Well, then I'll make
sure
it
it's your family.
So we go to check out this, I don't want to say.
Just a new place. Another place. A different place.
Yeah. Okay. Different place. And it's a newer place.
Mm-hmm.
People will be able to connect the dots. So we go there I will say this. The sandwich was pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
But I look at their menu, and I see they got a chicken parm.
Yeah.
And I think, well, that sounds good. I'll go with the chicken parm. Yeah. So I go, I'll take the chicken parm. And the kid taking my order goes, "You don't want that." And I say, excuse
"You don't
me.
Want that?"
He goes, "You don't want that." I go,
"That's a weird."
I go, "Well, are you out of it or something?" He goes,
yeah.
He goes, "It's terrible.
Mm.
Get this one or this one or this one." He said, "The chicken parm is awful."
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound the best.
Well, here's the thing. When someone tells me that they're not a fan of their own food,
yeah,
I'm going to listen to them. And again, sure. I went another direction, and it was fine. I've never once had an experience at Capriotti's.
No.
Where when I order anything, they go, "You don't want that."
I don't suspect they would have it on the menu if that was the case.
I mean, I think, like, I don't know if it was some sort of, if that's like a company-wide thing they do, or this was just an incredibly honest kid working the counter. Yeah, chicken parm. No, you don't want that. No, it's terrible.
It's not chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not chicken. Yeah.
Never had that experience at Capriotti's.
No, you're not going to have that experience at Capriotti's.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah. No, what? The safe bet is
what?
The safe bet is at Capriotti's.
Always.
The way I would
always and forever.
And don't forget they're delicious. And Don't forget their delicious soups, friends. Don't forget their chicken chili, their tomato bisque, their clam chowder, their chicken noodle, and chicken tortilla.
Do what I do. Order a bunch of meatballs there and just keep them in your garage.
Oh, my God. I wish I had a pocket full of meatballs.
We're back tomorrow. Until then, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy, Quad Cities.
Come on. Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock on. Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
It's enough. Thank you. Thank you very much.